On a typical weekday morning, 47-year-old Tekna Paul is moving about the Mount Oliver duplex he shares with his wife, sons, daughter-in-law, and grandchild. He works nights, so the mornings are when he gets his family time in. And often, that time centers around eating. Those meals used to consist of lots of starches. But since a type 2 diabetes diagnosis last year, they've changed.
I don't eat rice at all. I don't eat potatoes. I try to eat a lot of green vegetables, like lettuce, spinach, you know. And I don't eat like totally fried things.
Tekna Paul is ethnically Nepalese. He was resettled in California as a refugee, moved to Tennessee, then Pittsburgh, which has a lower cost of living and boasts an increasingly growing Bhutanese-Nepalese population. Before coming to the U.S., he spent 17 years in refugee camps in Bhutan.
You have no good health facilities. You don't have any hygiene there. If you are not careful, you'll be losing your life there. It was really hard.
25.8 million Americans have diabetes, and another 79 million are pre-diabetic. These numbers have risen sharply over the last few decades. Included among those statistics are newer Americans, people such as Tekna Paul, who came here as refugees. According to a study published in Human Biology, an immigrant's risk of obesity and hypertension, indicators of diabetes, grow with every year they are here. At the Squirrel Hill Health Center, a federally qualified health facility that provides the bulk of initial and follow-up care to refugees, Andrea Fox, the center's chief medical officer, is perpetually busy. She spots trends in her patient population. Rarely do the Bhutanese come to the U.S. with a diabetes diagnosis, but they've found a high prevalence of the disease in those they treat.
Sometimes they develop it once they're here, once they start gaining weight when they're here. And certainly some of them come undernourished. And so weight gain is a good thing, but sometimes they get overnourished while they're here, like everyone else, and that's when they develop it.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention monitors refugee populations. Among their priority health conditions for the Bhutanese are anemia, B12 vitamin deficiency, and mental health. They haven't been tracking diabetes numbers. A study done earlier this year at a clinic in Atlanta looked at non-infectious diseases among Bhutanese refugees. High numbers were found for obesity, hypertension, and diabetes. Tekna Paul says as difficult as things were in the camps, there was more physical activity in day-to-day life.
It was a very big transition for us because we came from a totally different world where everything was done manually.
While Saraswati Bhandari spends hours every day cleaning hotel rooms, work that's physically demanding, much of her life is easier. For example, she uses washing machines to wash her family's laundry instead of washing by hand. When she was pregnant last year, she developed gestational diabetes. The 32-year-old refugee had to change her eating habits.
For my baby and for my health, I control myself. It's not that much difficult. Though I like to eat, but I control, you know. I eat salad and then brown rice, and I control it, and I eat a lot of vegetables.
Now, with a healthy baby, she has kept some of those habits. Her home is supplied with vegetables. Bhandari lives in Prospect Park, a South Hills community full of refugees. There at the Prospect Park Family Center, Elizabeth Heidenrich, a family development specialist, does everything from accompanying refugees to doctor's appointments to helping them read ingredients on packaged foods offered by food bank trucks who set up in the community. That's become important.
A lot of my clients say that in their countries they don't have diabetes, but in America everybody has diabetes.
Back at the Squirrel Hill Health Center, Dr. Fox says once diagnosed, some people don't want to change their eating habits. They may not have health literacy, and doctors may have to explain the function of the pancreas, for example. And they may have to tell patients to take their medication even when they don't actually feel sick.
The idea of having preventative follow-up visits and regular blood checks and how to refill medicines once you're done with them for a month, they think, well, then I'm done with the medicine, instead of going back and refilling the prescription month after month. All of those concepts are kind of new that we have to teach them.
And then there is the issue of health insurance. Tekna Paul had a job that provided him coverage. And as a pregnant woman, Saraswati Bhandari qualified for Medicaid. After a refugee's initial medical benefits run out, if they don't have a job that provides medical benefits or qualify for Medicaid, they may just end up uninsured. With a diabetes diagnosis, Fox says that can lead to all sorts of other problems.
Insulin is very expensive. Insulin costs about $100 a vial for inexpensive insulin. If you go into some of the more expensive ones like Lantus, which is easy to administer and you only have to take it once a day, it goes much higher than that.
There's also diet. Fox says it's not as simplistic as refugees coming to America and subsisting on fast food and soda. There are also some of the culinary traditions the refugees bring with them.
Carbohydrates are usually pretty inexpensive, and so the Bhutanese diet is very heavy on potatoes and rice and noodles, all things that are high in carbohydrates. So we explain to them that it isn't that you can't eat those things. We're not taking away those things. You just have to eat less of them.
Once they understand the risks, it's easier to change their habits, particularly because in their recent history, they've had to change so many other aspects of their lives. Since his diagnosis, Tech Nepal has been promoted into a job that's made him more active. He's delivering medication throughout Mercy Hospital.
The whole hospital, in my 8 hours job, I walk like 7 hours. So that helps me a lot now.
Before his diagnosis, he had escalating symptoms. He was always thirsty and had to urinate often. And then there was the health scare that led to his diagnosis.
When I was driving and I stopped suddenly because of my blurry vision, I have to call someone for help. And they took me to the hospital, St. Clair Hospital. And
he's also cut back on foods he loved, items like potato-stuffed, deep-fried samosas.
People in our community, we eat a lot of fat in the food. They like it. Like cheesy, you know, fatty, oily, spicy, hot, everything. So now I'm out of that. I only like have to have the green things more.
In the process, he's lost 30 excess pounds. He's gotten his wife and older relatives to eat like he does now. But he does have concerns about his sons and their appetite for French fries and pizza.
I'm trying not my kids to have diabetic. As doctor says, diabetic itself is not only one disease. It gets related with the kidneys, heart, you know. So I'm worried about my kids. So I don't want my kids to have this.
After all, he says, they've been through a lot. And he wants his family to have a better life than the one they had in the refugee camps. I'm Erica Barris, 90.5 WESA News.